Hi, my name is Argel Dixon, and I'm a pastor or teaching elder for Living Water Community Church. You are tuned in to the Living Water Community Church podcast. We want to thank you for joining us. Our prayer is that you will grow to know Christ better as we seek Him together. Join us now as we explore another section of God's Word. We are in Genesis chapter 5 this morning, and uncharacteristically, our attempt will be to go through the entire chapter, chapter 5. I know that should bring a smile to just about everybody's face. We are going to be going from verses 1 all the way through verse 32. And we'll just go ahead and begin reading through this. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, He made him in the likeness of God.
Male and female, He created them, and He blessed them and named them man when they were created.
When Adam had lived 130 years, he brought his son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth.
The days of Adam after he had fathered Seth were 800 years. He had other sons and daughters.
Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died.
When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh.
Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years, and had other sons and daughters.
Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died.
Then when Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan.
Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years, and had other sons and daughters.
And thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died.
When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel.
And Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 830 years.
Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died.
When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared.
Mahalalel lived after he had fathered Jared 830 years and had no other sons and daughters.
Thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died.
Then Jared had lived 162 years and he fathered Enoch.
Jared lived after he had fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters.
Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah.
Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters.
And thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years.
Enoch lived with God, and he was not, for God took him.
When
Methuselah lived after your father Lamech 782 years, and had other sons and daughters.
Thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died.
When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son, and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us food from our work and from the painful toil of our hands.
Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years, and had other sons and daughters.
Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died.
After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
All right. Last time that we were together, we wrapped up chapter 4. And in chapter 4, we really see these archetypes of man. There are those who come to God on God's terms. There are those who come to God on their own terms. And there are those who don't come to God but justify themselves to themselves and to others. So we had three different archetypes that represent really all of mankind. We also saw the amazing display of God's grace as he poured out one blessing after another on mankind. Think about it. He gave us musicians. He gave us farmers. He gave us metal workers. And God could have left us completely destitute. He didn't have to give us any of those things. But he did. And he poured out his blessing on those who did not deserve it. And what's interesting about that is by doing that, he demonstrates the truth that it is always the way that he works. God is constantly pouring out blessing on those who do not deserve it. And that includes all of us. We don't deserve God's blessing. He gives it to us for his good pleasure. So in the end of the chapter, we saw God give Adam and Eve Seth, and a godly line was given in contrast to the godless line of Cain. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the blessed lineage of Adam. And here we see God preserve for himself this line through which he's going to send his seed. And I have had this thing that I put together several years ago. And I will hand it around. It's a two-page kind of spreadsheet. But it's really appropriate for what we're talking about this morning. And those of you who can read could take a copy. So you want two pages and then hand it on. Okay. And if you guys over here in this corner can maybe share it around a little bit, since you're close together. I'm not sure if I have enough copies for every single person. So, but what this is you'll see on the left-hand side a list of the names in the lineage of Adam, and then across the top you'll see when different people were born. And what it shows you is it will show you the age that the individual was when that person was born, including, so like you see the age when Adam, we know from the Bible the age Adam was when Seth was born, but if you go ahead and you move on down, you'll see the age of Adam when Enosh was born, and you'll see the age of Adam when Canaan was born, and you'll see the age of Adam when Mahalalel was born, and you'll see the age of Adam when Jared was born. And so all these things, in all of these cases, you're going to see the age, and then you'll see when, say for instance, Adam died. So when you look down through here, you can see that Adam would have known Lamech. And then you see, then if you go on the other side over here after the flood, there's this flood in the middle, and then you see after the flood, you see the ages of different people. And Noah kind of spans both pre-flood and after flood, so you see his timeline above there. But it's interesting to note that Abraham could have known Noah, and probably did. And that Noah would have known Lamech, and he would have known Methuselah, and he would have known Jared and Mahalalel and Enosh and Seth, and all of them would have known Adam. So you have from Adam to Abraham, you have two generations of people essentially spanning that whole period of time. So the conveyance of truth across two generations of people is going to be much greater than if we just did. I mean, imagine you've done Whisper Down the Lane. You guys have played that game, right? Or telephone, where you start something and it goes down. Well, imagine that you've got only two people linking Abraham all the way back to Adam. It's pretty remarkable, because that means that he would have had a real good, clear understanding of truth. Things about how to worship God, what kind of sacrifices God requires. Adam would have said that kind of stuff again and again to this godly line. And that would have been translated to Noah pretty easily, because it would have been Adam's sons that would have translated that to Noah. And so Noah knew, and he could have translated that directly to Abraham. When you think about it that way, it becomes really not quite as remarkable a thing that Abraham would have known how to worship God, because he would have been talking to what would essentially have been like a great-grandfather that had passed stuff on to him. That was really important stuff. Well, that would have easily gotten to him with great clarity because of the nearness of the translation of the information. It would have been a very high fidelity transfer of information. It would have been very clear. Does that make sense? So, I put this together years ago, and I just kind of have expanded it over the years and added different things to it, like the post-flood stuff, and just the other day I added the timeline for years from creation. So it's kind of interesting to see that God didn't call Abraham until 2,000 years had passed, which kind of fits with something else we had talked about earlier on as far as the days of creation. That whole idea that the called out seed, the planting of the calling out and planting his seed in the promised land was done in that year from 2000 to 3000, which corresponds to the third day of creation when the plants were called out from the ground. Just interesting. I don't know that there's great theological import there, but it's just very interesting to me how that all kind of fits. you don't have to fit it. It just fits. It all goes together. So I thought I would hand that out. Then you could have something here you could look at. You can look at this and you can see, you can go across and you say, oh, there's Methuselah. Oh, and oh, he was born here. And oh, he would have known all these guys. And it just kind of gives you an idea of how their lives.
There we go, book that we got. You have to flick over a couple of pages in order to get the. Anyway.
So.
It's cool, it spreads out like this all the way.
Well, I think we have one of those too.
Yeah.
So they're kind of cool. They have a lot of information in them. All right, so let's start here in verse 1. What does this first sentence tell us about this new section and what it's about?
This is a genealogy.
Okay.
The book of genealogy.
This is the book of the generations of Adam. It is interesting. It's the only segment like this that says it's the book of the generations of Adam. Some have suggested that perhaps this was a pre-existing document that Moses had, that maybe he inserted that document here in order to say that's why he perhaps called attention to it and said this is the book of the generations of Adam. That this may have been a document that was handed down that he inserted into the text in order to say here's a genealogy that I have in hand, and this is what it is. This is the generations of Adam. And so it's possible that was why this is set off with that terminology. This sentence uses the toledot marker that we talked about some time ago. And using this marker, Moses divided Genesis into 12 different sections. The word toledot appears in 11 of those sections. And this word has with it the idea of descent or generation. The first section of Genesis does not contain the word, but is about the creation of the platform on which there might be generation or descent. So in this particular section, whose generations are we seeing?
Adam's.
And it's interesting to note that the godly line starts not with Seth, but with Adam. What does this tell you about Adam?
He was a godly man.
In spite of the fact that he started the rebellion, in spite of the fact that he's the one who chose to rebel against God, we see, in a very real sense here, Adam linked to a godly line. And even in Jesus' genealogy, we see it taken all the way back to Adam. And so there is a sense in which, more likely than not, Adam repented and trusted in God. So how does this first tell us that man came to be? How did man come to be? God created him. How did God make him?
In his likeness.
You see, this is why man is not just another animal. This is why man is different from everything else on earth. Man was created in God's likeness. He's set apart because he was created to reflect God. According to verse 2, how did God create them? Okay. So God did not create man to, as an Asian, Caucasian, and Eurasian. God did not make us red, yellow, black, and white. God made us male and female. We are all the same race, or the human race. And after God created them, he also blessed them, and then he named them. What did God name this being he created in his likeness?
Man.
He named them man. So you see, God's name for humanity, both male and female, is man. It's not a sexist term. It's God's term for what he created. He calls us man. Now we turn to Adam. How old is Adam in this verse?
130 years.
What happens to Adam in this verse? Okay. What does the idea of likeness or image communicate to you about this son that Adam has fathered?
He was similar to him in many ways.
Probably more than just how he looked. And so, it's interesting here. The name Seth means substitute. If you think about this in contrast with Abel, it's an amazing picture. Abel's name meant vapor. And even though he was a righteous man, he still had to face death because of his sin. But God would send a substitute. And while Seth is not Jesus, he is a distant echo of the ultimate substitute that would come and take our place. How long did Adam live after he fathered Seth?
800 years.
Okay. Did Adam have other children besides Cain, Abel, and Seth? Yeah. This is how the world became populated quickly. These guys were living to be almost 1,000 years old, and they were having children for a good number of those years. We have guys having children recorded here from as early as 65 years old to as late as 500 years old when they're getting started. So that's a really huge range of childbearing. So even if 500 is the upper end, that's a long time to be having sons and daughters, and you could have quite a few children.
You guys would just be beginning.
Yeah, indeed. So, how old was Adam when he died?
930.
And verse 6 talks about Seth. How old does it tell us that he is?
105.
What's that?
105 years.
105 years old.
And what's the name of the son that he has?
Enosh.
Now, Enosh means mortal. Very few people have probably died at this point. Maybe the only person that has died at this point is Abel. So, but by naming his son Enosh, Seth highlights the result of our sin and points to the need for something more. He points to the fact that there is a seed that will come. Now, Enosh is Adam's grandson, and Enosh would have had ample opportunity to spend time with Grandpa Adam. As a matter of fact, Enosh would have been able to spend 795 years with Adam. He probably knew him pretty well.
How many years?
795 years. Pretty remarkable. How long did Seth live before he had Enosh? After he had Enosh?
807 years.
Was Enosh Seth's only son?
No.
Okay. And how old was Seth when he died?
912 years.
How old is Enosh for the event recorded in verse 9?
90.
And who is born in this verse?
Kenan.
All right. This guy's name is Kenan, and it means nest. It figuratively means chamber or dwelling. How many years did Enosh live after fathering Kenan?
815 years.
And according to this passage, did Kenan have other brothers and sisters?
Yes.
So Kenan would have been Adam's great-grandson. Adam would have been alive for 705 years after Kenan was born. Do you think Kenan probably got to spend some time with his great-grandpa?
He was probably still young and sprightly and having kids. That's 300 years.
So, yeah, at that point in time, he would have been 325 years old. So, how old was Enosh when he died?
905.
Okay. When Kenan has a son, how old is he?
70 years.
And what's the name of his son?
Mahalalel.
And Mahalalel means praise of God. How long did Kenan live after he fathered Mahalalel?
830 years.
Yeah. Did Kenan have other children?
Yep. Yes.
Mahalalel was Adam's great-great-grandson, and he would have known Adam for 635 years. How old was Kenan when he died?
110 years.
Okay. And how old is Mahalalel in verse 15?
65.
And what does this verse tell us that he did?
He fathered Jared.
And children... babies of only 65 years of age.
The name Jared means a descent, and it could be a reference to our fallen state. How long did Mahalalel live after he fathered Jared?
830 years.
Okay. Was Jared an only child?
No.
Okay. So Jared would have known his great-great-great-grandpa Adam for 570 years. How old was Mahalalel when he died? Now, Jared waited a while to have a son. How old was he when he had his son? And what was his son's name? Now, Enoch is interesting. It means to narrow. Do any of you have a hero in the Bible? Any of you guys have a hero in the Bible?
Sure.
Okay. Enoch is my hero in the Bible. If I were to point to one guy that I say is my number one hero in the Bible, it's Enoch. So I want you to pay special attention to what we learn about him here. Enoch is the seventh from Adam, just like Lamech through Cain's descendants was the seventh from Adam. So he parallels the end of Cain's line that we have recorded in Scripture is Lamech. That's the seventh from Adam. Enoch is the seventh from Adam through Seth. And so Enoch and Lamech, they may have been contemporaries of each other in their respective families, because they lived to be pretty old. So they may have been contemporaries of each other. How long did Jared live after fathering Enoch?
962 years.
No, he did not. How long did he live after? 800 years. Very good. Did Enoch end up with brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Now, Enoch would have known his great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam all of his life, because he was gone from the earth before Adam died. So, Enoch. So, he would have beat Adam out of here. How old was Jared when he died?
162 years.
Okay. And how old was Enoch when he had a son?
65.
And what did Enoch name his son?
Methuselah.
Now, Methuselah has a really interesting name. His name means man of the missile, or dart. You could call him the missile man. In contemporary language, we would maybe call him rocket man. This is an appropriate name, because the missile of God's wrath is poured out in the worldwide flood in the year of Methuselah's death. The year that Methuselah dies, the wrath of God is poured out in the earth in the flood. What do we learn about Enoch that is unique in this narrative?
He walked with God.
And how long did he walk with God after fathering Methuselah?
300 years.
Did Methuselah end up with siblings? Methuselah was Adam's great-great-great-great-great-grandson. And Adam would have had 343 years to spend time with Methuselah before he died. How old does verse 23 tell us that Enoch lived to be?
365 years.
And what does verse 24 tell us about Enoch? All right. We're going to look over here at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 to 6. I want to look at this passage because Abel, Enoch, and Noah are all listed in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith. What's interesting is that Enoch and Noah were contemporaries of each other. They're the only ones really listed in the Hall of Faith that had this kind of an overlap with each other. Living at the same period of time. It's pretty remarkable because it's from a very concentrated period of time where we have a lot of godly men who all lived at the same time, and these guys are standouts among them. So Hebrews here elaborates on what God's taking of Enoch involved. So let's listen as someone here reads Hebrews 11, 5 to 6.
By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever will draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
All right. What's interesting about this section of Scripture is the Jews, Jewish rabbis, have the Old Testament, but they don't follow the New Testament. So, Jewish rabbis like to say that Enoch was taken by God in death. So when the passage says Enoch was not because God took him, the Jewish rabbis say, well, that's just a euphemism for death. God took him. It's just another way of saying he died. And so, but the author of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us something else. What does he tell us?
That Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death.
That's right. So we have clarification in the New Testament, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Enoch indeed did not see death. What do we know about Enoch before he was taken? What do we know about him before he was taken? Look at Hebrews 11:5. What's it tell us about Enoch? He pleased God, right? What does Enoch's life show us about those who would please God?
that he must have been a faithful man, because without faith, it's impossible to please God.
That's right. That the faithful must seek him by faith. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 5. We're looking at verse 24. And here's what I personally love about Enoch. And this is what I love about Enoch is what the Bible tells us about him and what it does not tell us about him. What's the main thing that we know about Enoch?
That he walked with God.
Enoch walked with God. Every person that I have known in my life that I could characterize with those words, that guy really walks with God, or that woman really walks with God, they have a dramatic impact on the world around them. The world around them sees the work of God in their life. The world around them is affected by these people who the work of God is active in. Yet none of the things that Enoch did were important for God to record for us. If I were making a record of a godly person, I would tell you all the different things that I see them doing. But that wasn't important. Enoch had to have a tremendous impact on the world around him. But none of the things that he did, none of the impact he had on the world around him, was important for God to record. None of it. It's not here. What's here, what was most important about Enoch, is who he was in relation to God. You see, I don't know anyone else in all of Scripture whose life is so faithful, so marked by pleasing God, that God just simply takes them out and says, you don't need to stay there anymore. So, in terms of pleasing God, you could say that Enoch is perhaps one of the most pleasing men to God that's ever lived. And what's important about Enoch is not what he did. What's important about Enoch, the most pleasing man that ever lived in God's eyes, is this thing that often gets lost amid the details of our Christian life. The single most important thing we can do in our Christian life is seek God with all of our heart. That is more important to God than any other single thing that we do. So, seeking to know God, to sit at His feet and to learn of Him, is so much more important than anything else. And that is why Enoch is my hero. That is why I love Enoch's story. Because God uses him to show us what he values the most. God uses this life in the Old Testament, this guy in the Hall of Faith, to tell us about this characteristic of Enoch's life. The fact that Enoch's life so pleased God that he took Enoch so that he would not see death. Man, wouldn't that be just an awesome way to be remembered? And so, it's just a really great reminder. It's a really great resetting of what's important. It's something that we really need to hang on to. We need to tenaciously grip that truth. Because we can think about all these great things, doing this, doing that, doing the other thing. But the thing that most pleases God is when we seek Him with all of our heart. That's more important than anything else. So, let's move on to verse 25 here. How long did Rocket Man live before he had a son?
187 years.
And what did he name his son?
Lamech.
Now, Lamech's interesting. This is the second guy we see in Genesis named Lamech. Lamech has an unknown root, so we're not sure what his name meant biblically. So I went looking for some modern attempts at trying to get to the root of Lamech's name. And they suggest that Lamech perhaps stands for lowering or for humiliation. And this may be close, because that would be in keeping with the nature of most of the other names that we've seen in the line here. Lamech would have had a chance to spend 156 years with his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa Adam. 156 years of time. That's a long time. It's a lot of years. Lamech would have probably known Adam pretty well. And he would have been able to tell his son all about him without probably too much trouble. How long did Methuselah live after he fathered Lamech? 782 years. Did Lamech end up with siblings?
Yes.
And how old was Methuselah when he died?
169.
How old was Lamech when he had a son?
182.
And what did Lamech name his son?
Noah.
Noah's interesting. Noah means rest. Noah seems to have a life that's filled with work and toil. Noah is the first descendant of Adam that would not have had a chance to know the first man that God had formed out of the dust of the ground. I mean, think about it. If you were a great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Adam, and he was the first man that God formed out of the dust of the ground, you would have definitely wanted to know this guy. You would have wanted to know him. Here's a guy who, I mean, maybe he didn't have a belly button.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been unique. Hey, check it out. So here's this guy, Adam, that Noah never got a chance to know. But you got to keep in mind that Adam being around this long, he would have really been able to help them keep their worship and sacrifices to God pure. He knew God. He had walked with God. He knew what God wanted. He would have had the opportunity to stress to these guys how to worship God. And in all of these descendants, we end up with a great group of faithful men. And all of these guys lived at the same time. Which is remarkable, because throughout history and scripture, and even through Christian history, it's usually God raising up one guy. You know, here's this one guy who lives during a generation, or maybe a couple of guys, but all of these guys were contemporaries. They lived at the same period of time. What a powerful witness and testimony to God. And so they were a beacon. These guys were a beacon calling the rest of mankind to return to true and faith-filled worship. What did Lamech say about his son that God had given him?
Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toils of our hands.
So what kind of painful toil did Noah help to bring relief from? Think about it. What happened during Noah's lifetime?
What?
The flood. And what was taken away?
People.
All the people, all the wicked, all the unrighteous on the earth. You think that was a painful toil for them to always be in conflict with the unrighteous and unfaithful on the earth? Yeah. And so Lamech saw this son and prophesied that this son was going to give them rest from their painful toil. And no doubt, he did, in the sense that their toil against of righteousness against sinfulness was a painful toil. And there was rest brought about from that toil through Noah. It didn't last for long, but he did bring about rest. And who knows how wicked and bad it had become. Perhaps we'd never seen anything as wicked as what it was before the flood. It's very possible. And we'll get into some of the reasons for that as we study this on. How long did Lamech live after having Noah?
590.
Did he have other children?
Yes.
And how old was Lamech when he died?
77 years.
Okay. Lamech was 777 years old, and he died 5 years before the flood happened. So he lived very close to the time of the flood. And his dad, Methuselah, actually outlived him. How old was Noah when he had his sons?
100 years old.
And what were the names of Noah's sons?
Shem.
And so we have these probably triplets born to Noah. I don't know how else he would have three sons in the same year. So they were no doubt triplets. Shem means a definite or conspicuous position, and Shem ends up being the one through whom Abraham is descended. Ham means hot, and his family would carry Noah's curse and feel the fury of Noah's wrath. Japheth means to expand or make roomy. What can we say about this lineage? Well, one thing I find incredibly interesting is that all the names up until Noah's sons point in one way or another to God or Christ. And this I just found fascinating as we went through this. Seth is the substitute, just like Jesus becomes our substitute. Enosh means mortal, which is what Christ had to become so that he could suffer and die in our place. Kenan, which means nest or dwelling, points to the fact that Christ came and dwelt among us. Mahalalel meant praise to God, and that is what Jesus did. He brought praise to God. Enoch means narrow, and not only was Enoch's life more narrow in length than his contemporaries, but he reminds us that the way to Christ is through the narrow gate. Methuselah meant missile man, and it pointed to the coming missile of God's wrath, which the flood fulfilled, but which points in a significant way to the wrath of God that was poured out on Christ. And Christ becomes our ark of refuge in the midst of God's wrath. It's only in Christ that we are saved from the wrath which is to come. It's also interesting that Methuselah was the longest lived of all of those recorded in Scripture, which, since his name means missile man or points to the wrath of God coming, points to how God is long-suffering and waits to bring his wrath until all are ready and everything is complete. Then we have Lamech. And while we're not 100% certain that his name may means, the fact that it may mean humiliation points to the fact that Christ came to humble himself and submit to the death of the cross. Noah's name means rest, and it reminds us of the rest that is ours through the work of Christ on the cross. Is this of vital importance? It's only important to the extent that it reminds us of Christ. It's only important to the extent that it points us to Jesus, to the fact that he not only gave these guys, these sons, and preserved a godly line, but in a very real sense caused them to choose these names that in different ways point to the work of God and to the work of Christ. You see, this whole line points to God preserving a godly seed. And God continues to preserve that seed in us today as he prepares a bride for his son. So, it would be my prayer that we be found like Enoch, seeking him with all of our hearts by faith. Let's pray, all right? Dear God in heaven, we thank you so much for this godly line. We thank you for preserving a seed, for preserving a people for yourself, for calling us to be a part of your people, for sending Jesus so that we could be reconciled and made a part of your people. We are very, very grateful, Lord, for the work that you have done, for it is marvelous and glorious. It's above all we can ask or think. And so, Lord, help us to be like Enoch. Help us to be a people that seeks you by faith with all of our hearts, to be a people who is known as walking by faith, to be a people who are known as walking with God. And Lord, so change us through this walk with you that we are found faithful to your call when you said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age.